Good to be with you on this Monday morning. We have troopers from both North Dakota and Minnesota with us. That's right. We have Lieutenant Brian Niewin with the North Dakota Highway Patrol and Minnesota State Patrol Sergeant Jesse Grable. Guys, good to have you on News and Views.
Thanks for having us on.
Let's get the most important part through. Brian, you got your deer this weekend, right?
I did.
Jess, you been out yet?
I was out the first weekend in Minnesota, and no luck, but had my chance, but that's all right.
There's still time. There's still time. We might have to switch you over to that mic. Amy's giving me the double secret look. Brian, I want to talk about Western North Dakota to kick this off, because the serious part of all of this is we've had some fatalities, and this is scary stuff.
Yeah, last week in 1 week, we had, I believe it was six fatality crashes with eight fatalities in 1 week in one quarter of our state. And it was a pretty bad week out in Western North Dakota this week.
What is there something that's going on? Is traffic picked up? Is it the transition between, you know, some morning slick roads with some moisture and some cooler temperatures? What's causing it?
You know, from what I understand, it's none of it was weather related. It's all a lot of it's driver error. It's people that are passing and when they shouldn't be passing and going head on with the vehicle. They're failing to negotiate a curve because they're traveling too fast. They're not paying attention to the traffic that's around them. We had one with a rear end crash. A truck was stopped, another truck ran into the back of it. So a lot of it's driver error type of incidences where, you know, it's people just failing to obey the laws that we have for our roadways. But also some of it was alcohol related. Some of it is, you know, not wearing a seatbelt, rollover crashes, where if they're wearing the seatbelt, you know, they probably would have walked away from the crash. So it's a lot of different factors. It's not just one thing that is occurring, you know, statewide.
Is there, when you look at all of this, is there a stat that you can look to already? Because we're approaching the middle to the end of November here, and you start evaluating the numbers this year versus other years. How do we rank?
You know, I think right now we are below what we were last year, but last year was a modern day high. We killed 170 people on our roadways in North Dakota last year, which is, when I first came on as a trooper 10 years ago, we were, you know, it was about 100, 105. So, I mean, we're 60, 65 higher than what was 13 years ago. We do have more traffic, but I don't think we have that much more traffic where the fatality should be that higher. You know, I think right now we're probably maybe after this last week, not too much below where we were last year, but we are below where we were last year.
Have you been able to get the additional troopers on in Western North Dakota the way the patrol has wanted to?
We have shift resources out there. We've taken positions from the eastern side of the state as some of our spots open up here and transition to those spots out west. In addition, our last legislative session, we received 15 additional troopers. We're going through that hiring process right now. So those people haven't hit the road yet. So we haven't seen the effect of having those extra bodies on the road. Over the last few years, we have gotten a few extra bodies through the legislature. Prior to this 15, we got this last legislative session. Those troopers are on the roadways, and they are all out west. And it's just, we're kind of playing just still a reactionary type thing, trying to play some catch up out there.
Well, and believe me, it slows you down. I mean, I'm sorry, but it makes you think twice again about this hectic life schedule that everybody lives now. When you see that trooper, it's Sergeant Grabo, it goes to what the comment you made earlier about We Fest this summer. You know, sometimes just being seen puts you in a whole different light. It brings everybody to a recognition that, hey, I can get caught out here if I'm moving too quick.
And that's exactly, we want to deter, you know, that possible, you know, bad choices or bad behavior, whatever's going to go on, just knowing that you have the opportunities. And that's really when you hear all these different campaigns, whether it's Click It or Ticket, Drive Sober, Get Pulled Over. I mean, you know, our goal's not about the number of tickets we write or the rest we make. It's, you know, just, again, having the information so you make a good choice each and every time you get in that vehicle.
Now, you are... You're no longer seeing every fishing boat, every fourth vehicle.
True.
You're no longer seeing pontoons going down the road. I mean, things change for you this time of year.
And they really do. It's, you know, as the roads start getting slippery, maybe we don't have, we have more crashes. And it's not always just because the roads are slippery, though, but it's just because people are, again, driving too fast. I mean, they just need to slow down, buckle up, and pay attention. If they can, you know, just do some of that, it's going to avoid a lot of what we see throughout the rest of the season here.
Brian, late harvest this year. A lot of dirt on the roads. A lot of, you know how we hooked some rains, and I know the same thing happened over on the Minnesota side, Jesse, when, you know, Do you ever, as patrolmen, go and contact DOT and say, hey, this one's so bad, we're going to have to do something to get this road cleared off here?
Yeah, we do. I think anytime we see there's a problem area, we're going to contact DOT if it's something that they can help with. You know, there's a lot of times you get this dirt on the roadways, you can't even see the lane marker lines, and that's a big problem, especially when you get some of these light mists we've had. It's kind of hard to tell where you are on the road. So we do contact DOT and let them know if we see a problem area out there.
How about on the Minnesota side? How do you deal
with that? Yep, same thing. And actually, we'll get a lot of, complaints or just calls from the public saying, hey, this is an issue out here. Normally, most farmers do a pretty good job of getting that marked or getting that stuff out there, but usually you got to work together. So same thing, we'll contact DOT.
What do you approach the farmers, or do you let DOT do that?
We usually let DOT take care of that.
How about the North Dakota side?
Same thing.
Okay, because it's interesting. You can, knowing farmers in my area the way I know them, there's some that are just very diligent. They'll send that hired man out there with the skid steer, and they know how dangerous it is. They know how, and then you've got the attitude of some certain other farmers, which it would seem to me there should be some recourse to the approach that some of them take, where it's all about them first. And if they're going to do that, there should be some tool that DOT has to come back to you to come in and say, okay, guys, you know, we've got after them, we've called them, they don't care, it's them first. And so I'm going to ask you a tough question. Brian, if DOT calls you back, do you have the ability to go back to an ag producer who's taking the me-first approach and find them?
I think if we have a situation where it's a really egregious type violations, where we can get involved, and we will assist DOT in trying to get some information from those producers. There's been times where we've had trucks go off the road on some of our loop ramps in the Fargo area, have caused damage to the shoulders or roadways, where we've actually gotten information from those companies, given it to DOT, and DOT can go through the insurance process and actually recoup some of those costs that they have to go out there and fix those parts.
How about on the Minnesota side? Do you have the ability to go back out and look at some of those ag producers and say, you know what, we talked to you about getting the road cleaned off, you didn't, and here's maybe a little incentive for you?
Yes, correct. You know, I actually had to look that up this summer because I was getting some questions in reference to irrigators. When the water gets on the road, is that an actual violation itself? And just getting the road wet, no. But if it starts building up in certain areas where maybe there's standing water, that can be an issue. So I looked into a little more, and yes, it does apply to dirt and mud and things like that. The owner that's, putting that stuff on there can be held accountable.
I also want to touch base with you a little bit as we transition into this whole new season, because it can hit so quick. Sergeant Grable, you have some of the toughest roads to drive when you get a foot of snow in a hurry. That can happen as early as tomorrow.
Yes, it can.
And easily we're going to get a call from both sides of the river here, and they're going to say, hey, tell everybody to slow down, tell everybody to take a little bit extra time. But the truth of the matter is, you've been at this long enough, you know what's going to happen any given day now.
Very true. You know, I mean, I'll in just a matter of weeks, I'm sure I'll start to sound like a broken record. But again, it's just very important to keep hitting that message over and over. So again, that when people are traveling, they're, you know, making, again, good common sense choices. But that's what it's about, is the choice you're going to make each and every time you get in that vehicle.
Brian, your road's not quite as going around every lake or slough or pothole, but I tell you what, they're wide open, and you can get drifts where you don't want drifts this time of year.
Yeah, you know, it's that same old thing we talk about, is make sure you're wearing your seatbelt, increase those following distances. You know, it's been kind of crazy 2 weeks here, even in the Fargo area. We've had a couple evening rush hours where we've been piling up some cars. We had 6 crashes in about a 45-minute span here 2 weeks ago, and 10 last week, so that's without any snow or ice. So we just tell people, you know what, make sure you're wearing your seatbelt, increase those following distances, and get off those phones. Don't be talking on your cell phone, and don't be texting while you're driving. I think that can kind of comes into play sometimes in these metro area crashes.
See, you guys are a little different because you're pretty well noticed out on the roads. But what I've noticed the most in driving in metro areas, and it isn't just the city I'm in now, it could be other cities that I've been in. People look at stoplights. When they come upon stoplights and they're green, they go to yellow, and oh man, I missed that light. They look at that as though that's now an opportunity to text. It's legal now. Do you notice that, Brian?
Yeah, I've seen that in my personal car. You know, a lot of times in our professional vehicles, they're not going to do it. But when you're in your personal car, you see it all the time.
Do you see it, Jesse?
Oh yeah, yeah. You see it, and then the light will turn green, and then they're still sitting there. Yeah.
And the The honks that you hear now are all about they're still looking down at their screen.
Very true.
I mean, it seems to me mechanically there still has to be some way of dealing with that. Guys, we're going to take some phone calls and start. Let's start with Chris. Chris, you are on Trooper Talk here on News and Views. Go ahead.
I have a question for the – I actually have two questions, and I'll hang up and listen. Basically, I work out in Western North Dakota. I haul oil out there. And every day I'm out there, the gravel haulers – I know there's a law in North Dakota because I used to haul gravel out of Fargo that you need to tarp up the load. Is that not true for the gravel haulers out west, or what's the deal on that? Then the last question I have is school buses, they have to stop they stop at railroad tracks. They put their hazards on and all that. I'm a hazmat hauler. I haul crude. And yet, every time I put my hazmat on and stop at a railroad track, I have 2-3 cars just barreling on by me and almost causing an accident. I'll hang up and listen to your answer.
Thanks, Chris. Appreciate it. The first one was gravel. Do they got to tarp up, or is it what's the law, Brian?
There is no law in North Dakota that requires gravel haulers to tarp up. If they're hauling gravel and it's flying at the back of it, obviously, common sense would tell them to do that. We can issue violations for like a leaking or sifting load, which would be gravel falling off a load like that. If there's a lot of law enforcement officer around and it's happening, there's probably not a lot that's going to happen. But if we are around and we see a load that's kind of blowing off because they're driving, so fast, we will stop them and issue them citations. And
he was talking about how the school buses put their lights on, but he's a hazmat driver. He puts his lights on. It seems to go ignored. You ever notice that?
Yeah, I guess we don't see a lot of, I don't see a lot of crude haulers, like they do out west. We do have the fuel trucks that haul around here. We don't have a lot of, railroad intersections that we deal with that, the odds of being behind a crude, a truck hauling fuel at a railroad crossing is pretty probably slim for us. You're not supposed to be passing at a railroad crossing. So if trucks or if vehicles are passing around him, that is a violation. And obviously if there's a law enforcement officer around, we can do something about it. But again, if he gets a license plate, long-form complaints can be done for violations, but it's going to be up to the state's attorney's office, wherever the local violation happened to, whether or not they want to pursue it or not.
How about the Minnesota side in terms of hauling gravel?
Hauling gravel, again, it doesn't require your load to be tarped, but again, if it's leaking, sifting, or anything, falling out of the vehicle, then it must be.
Okay, what about, do you ever notice people not giving way to hazmat drivers?
And occasionally, I do get this question on occasion. And
you ever shared some love with them, pulled them over and
said? Oh, yes, yeah. But we're usually, it's not often that we're in the right place at the right time.
Well, and that's kind of the odds. I think Brian's right about how Western North Dakota can be a whole different situation right now than what we see here in the East. All right, we're taking your phone calls. We've got the troopers in-house, Sergeant Jesse Grabo with the Minnesota State Patrol and Captain, or I always write Captain, Lieutenant Brian. It's Captain, isn't it? It's Captain Brian Neewin with the North Dakota Highway Patrol is with us. I got it right. I saw him having the boys with the turnout gear in Leith, which, by the way, good job on that.
Thanks.
You kept a situation diffused. You didn't go there to pick or advocate for one side or the other, but make sure bad things didn't happen. That had to be a pretty interesting place to be.
We do a lot of training for that. Our team gets together a couple times a year. We send guys out of state for that specific training. And a lot of it is just a deterrent type of effect. And we weren't there for one group or the other. It was more or less to keep everybody safe. And if something did happen, we were there to kind of squash whatever maybe came about. So
yeah, exactly. Let's get back to the phone lines. Scott, you're on with the troopers.
Hey, good morning, Faye. I was wondering, when you guys were talking about tarps or not having stuff tarped, say if you're going down the road and rocks are coming off of something and your window gets kind of busted up, are they liable at all for that? Or
it's a good question.
We take those calls, during our construction season every year. And what we'll do is we'll do a follow-up on that. We'll talk to the company, get if you can get a license plate or a company name, we can follow up with the company. We'll do a report up on it, get their insurance information. And a lot of times those gravel haulers, those construction companies will reimburse those people for that through their, through the insurance company.
How about on the Minnesota side?
There's not a lot we can do, but we try to do something like that. But again, I've noticed a lot more gravel companies on the Minnesota side have gotten better at tarping their, keeping a tarp because
the answer, though, is they're liable. The gravel companies are liable if rocks, I know on the North Dakota side, because we had this debate unless the law changed since I left there. The problem is the proof.
You've got to be able
to prove that that's how that rock hit your car.
And so, did it come from the load, or did it come from a tire? Did it come from a vehicle that you passed that came off of a tire? So, I mean, a lot of it is, you know, a lot of times these companies are pretty good about it, though. And they understand, okay, you know, this is part of the cost of their doing their business, and they'll take care of it.
237-5948, 1-800-880-5346. Craig, you're on with the Troopers. Go ahead, Craig.
I have a question about red lights and pertaining to driving in Fargo. I don't know if they can answer it. But if you come up to a red light, are you expected to turn after a stop on red light, or can you wait until that light turns green? And also, with the bike pass in Fargo, if you want to make a right-hand turn and these bike paths are there, can you pull into the bike path, or do you just stay left of the bike path and make your right-hand turn?
Appreciate the call.
The first one on the red lights, I guess I'm assuming he's talking about making a right-hand turn on a red light. You can, unless the traffic signal specifically says you cannot make a right turn on right. You can make a right turn on a right. You have to come to a complete stop, make sure traffic's clear, and then make that right turn. Unless there's a specific arrow that says, you know, a red arrow or a sign that says no right turns on red.
The bike lane.
The bike lane, you know, that might be a city ordinance. I'm not quite sure about the bike lane.
Well, if you can't drive in the bike lane to make that turn, can I just point out that they are driving in the bike lane to make that turn?
There aren't bike lanes in too many areas here in Fargo. I'd have to maybe ask Fargo PD about that question.
Fair enough. When we come back, we'll take your phone calls here with the Troopers on News and Views. Welcome back to News and Views. Captain Brian Niewind and Sergeant Jesse Grabo is here. Brian is with the North Dakota Highway Patrol, and Jesse is with the Minnesota State Patrol. We're taking your phone calls and giving you access to the troopers that are out there protecting you on the roadways. Doug, you're on News and Views. Go ahead, Doug.
Yes, I used to haul lime rock out of Duluth, Minnesota, and gravel out of the Rotsa area, and we were told by a police officer that if you have a rock or anything come off the top of your trailer or on the side or anything, you can be written up for unsecured load. Is that just the officer saying that, or is that the law?
No, that is true.
Okay, because how come I got stopped for hauling gravel, too, and I didn't get a citation, but I had gravel blown off the top, and I know a lot of guys do, but they still get away with it.
Boy, you know, I'm going to say from my own experience, I'm going to disagree with you there, because that's something I think troopers down in our area, we've been very aggressive or vigilant on. It's just because we've had so many. I mean, I remember about 10, 15 years ago, it was just, you know, windshields were getting broke like crazy. People were getting their cars sandblasted. So we hit it hard out there. And I think a lot more have done a good job to get it tarp. But yes, you can be held accountable if you do lose your load. And if we see it, we're very aggressive on it. No doubt about it.
In advance of this show, I started thinking about seasonally what you guys go through, the men and women that are out there patrolling the roadways. And so in your case, Jesse, you just went through a busy lake season, which just gets nothing but busier, and now we're going to transition into wintry weather. And Brian, the holidays matter as well. I mean, all those holiday parties, all of those, I mean, people do some goofy things come the holidays, and then come January, now you're in the heart and soul of this winter. And then come spring, all the farm equipment comes back out. I guess the point I'm trying to build up to is, does it ever slow down?
There really is no ever slow time for us. I guess it kind of depends upon what time of year, what our busy items are. And it seems like since I've came on that it's a constant hum out there. It doesn't matter what time of day, what day of the week it is. There's just always something going on someplace. And, you know, we talk a lot about out west, about the oil field activity. Well, all that oil field activity comes through someplace else to get out there, and it's coming through our areas too, so it does affect.
Yeah, you see it.
You know, everywhere in the state is affected.
I passed a big tonner truck today with Texas license plates heading back out to the oil patch, you know, and he was heading back. There was four guys in there going back to work and probably on a month-long shift and going to head back home after that. So want to talk to you a little bit while I have you here, Captain Niewind, about the deal in Leith. So people understand roles, okay? The two individuals in Leith picked up for basically terrorizing, walking around town with guns. They appointed themselves patrolmen of Leith. And so you had Cobb and Dugard walking around with guns around town, while the one individual's wife was walking around videotaping all of this. You know, you were there. You were there for the big protest, and so when Cobb and Dutton do this, and they go ahead and they appoint themselves, is this just a Grant County issue, or are you just on an on-call basis? If the people in Grant County call, then you get to respond to it.
You know, this is more or less a Grant County issue. It is in the city limits of Leith. And, you know, for the most part, Grant County, their sheriff's department will be responding to any incidents that happen there. When it comes to local issues like that, our agency a lot of times does not have jurisdiction. We have jurisdiction on our roadways in North Dakota and not necessarily on private property or for these types of incidents. So we would come in as an assisting agency to Grant County if they asked us to come assist them, especially with a case where people are walking around weapons. Obviously, if we have troopers in the area that call comes out, we're going to back up those Grant County officers and assist them, because it's a pretty volatile situation if people are out, you know, and about walking around with guns. It just doesn't happen in North Dakota. We do have open carry laws here in North Dakota where you're allowed to do some of that stuff, but it just doesn't happen that often. So we will assist those agencies.
What's the line? If you're in Leith and you're Cobb or Dutton and you're walking around videotaping people with guns, would you consider that terrorizing?
It's really going to depend upon the circumstances and you know, how that fits within the laws that we have here in North Dakota. Again, you can carry weapons as long as they're not concealed in North Dakota out in the public. You can't go into certain types of businesses. You can't go into churches. You can't go into bars or gambling facilities. But you can be out sitting in your front yard with a gun across your lap. As long as it's in plain view, it's not concealed, you can do that. And it's no different than if it's a pistol or if it's a rifle. You can do that in North Dakota. So it just depends upon how it's being portrayed by the other citizens that are there and what type of manner you're actually carrying it. And, you know, I don't know a lot about this case in Leith where Mr. Cobb and Mr. Dutton were arrested. But you can open carry in North Dakota.
Well, it's there to see. If you go to their website, it's www.leithnd.com. You're going to be able to see what they were doing. And to me, it granted, you're not on the scene, but I think there's a reason those two men were arrested. On the Minnesota side, how does it go for you? What is the law in terms of if something like this was happening, Sergeant Grabo, in your backyard?
Well, it's very similar, I think, what Captain Nywin here said. So same thing. And for people looking for more information on that type of thing about carrying and concealed carrying, all that type of thing, you should really go on to the Department of Public Safety's website, where the BCA explains some of that out on there on open carry laws and things like that.
Well, and I think that the point in all that, and the reason I asked the question, is not to throw poor Captain Brian into the middle of a controversy. It's to show that one day he's got a bunch of guys out there in turnout gear, you know, and the next day, you know, if you're Grant County and you're Sheriff Steve Bay, you've got two other men in uniform patrolling Grant County, which means these guys get to sleep too. They get time off too. That's three people out in Grant County doing the work. So they can't post a person full time in Leith, which means, Brian, they're going to have to count on you guys to help out on some of this.
You know, when we were there for the protest back in September, we knew it was going to be a bigger deal. And that's why I'm in charge of our emergency response team. And that's why we were there. You know, it wasn't just our emergency response team. There was also troopers from the Southwest region that were assisting Grant County for that event. And again, you know, if the county needs assistance, they'd be asking our agency, and we would assist them in any way we can. It's just going to depend upon the circumstances, whatever what's happening at the time.
Let me ask you this, going in a different direction. North Dakota really got pushed hard this last legislative session for tougher and much more restrictive DUI laws. Has it helped?
I think we still are at that threshold. We're going to arrest probably 1,800 to 2,000 DUI offenders in North Dakota, just our agency. So we haven't seen a drop in the frequency where we're arresting people. We are seeing more felonies that we are arresting, though, where in the past we would maybe have one, two felonies in a year within our region with, you know, 450 to 500 DUI arrests. One or two was maybe a felony. Now we're seeing at least one or two a month. So I think, you know, part of that where the stiffer penalties are coming into play is starting to affect some more people. And hopefully through time, those stiffer penalties will kind of gradually decrease our amount of DUI offenders that are out there.
So here's what I just heard you say, and then you can correct me so I don't misinterpret it. It's not being it's not working as a deterrent. You're still out there arresting DUI cases. But in the case of getting habitual DUI, similar to the individual that killed that family by Jamestown, now you have more tools in the toolbox to go after those habitual felons who are doing this and get them off the roads.
Yeah, I think there's a better recourse for those habitual offenders now than there was in the past. And I think our troopers are seeing, especially in the metro area here, more taxi cabs being used. I think the wait times for those have increased, which is great news. We're seeing more designated drivers out in our rural areas, which is great news. But we still are finding those DUI drivers. And is the problem ever going to go completely away? No, but hopefully we can reduce the amount of fatals we have, because our fatal number isn't decreased. We still have about 50% of our fatal crashes involve alcohol. You know, the hope is with stiffer DUI penalties that, you know, that number would drop. You know, hopefully maybe we can get down to like Minnesota numbers, 30% or 25% that some of these states have for their fatal crashes involve alcohol. We're still at that 50%. So I think it's still early in the law. And, you know, eventually, hopefully, it'll have more deterrent effect.
Okay. How about the Minnesota side in terms of DUIs this year? Evaluate it.
I guess, you know, we look at it over the last 10 years, we've had that Towards Zero Death program. I mean, what the whole campaigns are based upon, what I talked about earlier, either click it or ticket, drive sober, get pulled over, and we're making progress. However, we're still arresting a significant number of people for DWI each year. So I guess we're improving in that sense. People are more informed than they've ever been. More people are making choices. We're getting our numbers down to of our fatal crashes. About, again, Captain 91 said in Minnesota, we're averaging about one third of those being involved alcohol. So we're making improvement, but at the same time, we still have room to grow there.
Okay, let's go back to the phone lines and get to Scott. Scott, you have a Minnesota question for Jesse Grable.
Yeah, the Highway 5975 had changed their speed limit.
Correct.
Can we still pass a vehicle that's doing 55 and get by up to 65?
Yes. Highway 75 and Highway 59 have went from 55 to 60 now. And technically, when you pass a vehicle, you are allowed to go 10 miles an hour over the speed limit when passing that vehicle. But once you've then passed that vehicle, you must resume to the legal speed limit, which on those highways now will be 60 miles an hour.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Scott. Thanks for the call. Let's get to Mike. Mike, you're on News and Views.
Hi. I have a question about the yellow flashing lights being used on specifically county and state vehicles, whether it be trucks or just pickups. It's like they're being overused. And let me use an example of a school bus. If it drove around all the time with the yellow flashing lights on, I don't think it has the same effect as when it turns them on and off when there's an issue for having them. I think they're losing the effect of the yellow flashing light because we have trucks and pickups running down the road with no reason to have them on.
Okay.
Isn't there a ticket to be given when, I believe when you drive a truck, specifically a semi with a wide load sign exposed and you don't have a wide load, that's a violation. Why isn't the yellow flashing light under the same effect?
Who wants it?
You know, I think we have a lot of different vehicles out there that are allowed to use amber lights. Like he pointed to just at the end of the phone call here, is that we have oversized loads that, you know, depend upon the size of the load, have to have amber flashing lights. We have DOT pickups that have amber flashing lights that are allowed to have them. We have private construction companies that have them. You know, our wrecking services, that's the lights that they have to have, are amber colored. So there's a lot of different vehicles out there that have amber lights. I guess from my experience, I don't see a ton of them driving around with their amber lights on. A lot of times they are parked on the shoulder of the road, or they're actually in a construction zone doing some construction work, or it's an oversized load that's required to have them. So, you know, anytime you see any flashing light, that's giving you a warning that there's something going on. So I would just, you know, pay attention, look out ahead of you to see what actually is going down. Take that cruise control off because you might have to react to something that's happening up ahead of you, because those are warning lights for traffic to know that there's something going on up ahead of you.
And how about the Minnesota side?
Yeah, same thing. I mean, flashing lights are prohibited except on, you know, the certain vehicles during their certain type of work. So I guess I've had, you know, chats with people that, you know, just going down the road didn't really apply. We've had some talks on that.
Are they required on buses in Minnesota?
Just those in self, I mean, hazard lights, no. They will use a special strobe light when it's foggy and the weather's, you know, rain or those type of things.
See,
yes.
In North Dakota, they're required to be on.
Yeah, it's one of the requirements here. It's a white strobe light that's on top of the bus that's on anytime that there's students inside the bus. It's not supposed to be used for activity purposes. It's for when they travel back and forth from school.
That when that bill went in, it was Elroy Lindis from Mayville that pushed that bill. And that the question that was previously asked was asked then of whether or not it would get to be so routine that it really didn't matter. And I can tell you all these years later, Elroy was right. Because every time I see that light and I think of that school bus, I think, Joel, behave. You know, there's a school bus and nothing's more precious than what's inside that. My big question at the time was whether or not the bus would still fit in the bus barn. I mean, it was. You think about all the roughs and how tight them babies go in the barn. All right, guys, I get to ask one more question. The troopers are here, and we have just a little bit of time left. Captain Nguyen, do you see people foolishly hauling game back? A deer hanging over the hood of the car, hanging over the... I mean, what have you seen that's been the most outrageous during hunting season?
I guess I haven't seen that. You see the guys that kind of prop their... the racks up in the back of the truck.
So want everybody them to can be see, seen. Yep.
Yeah, I can see that. You know, I've seen that before. I've been on some of these game checks we've done, and people are stuffing, you know, extra ducks or pheasants in the fender wells of the front of the truck to try and, you know,
hide them.
Try to hide them and stuff. So, I mean,
they don't know where the culverts are. How about on the Minnesota side, Jesse?
Yeah, most people do a pretty good job of taking care of that, but usually it's just to brag about the rack they got.
Couple of seconds we got left. What's your word to people out there?
Again, roads, you know, weather's going to change. Be ready for it. You know, have those winter survival travel kits packed, ready to go, and just more than anything, slow down.
Captain?
You know, we got Thanksgiving holiday coming up here. Biggest travel day for us is that Wednesday before. Just be safe when you're out there. We're going to be out in full force that day. All our troopers are going to be working that day. We're going to have a whiteout, a hits day. So,
guys, thanks for what you do. Thanks a lot for what you do.